Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The headline is perplexing. Creekstone Farms of Kansas wants to test all the beef it processes for mad cow disease. And the United States Department of Agriculture says no. To many Americans, that sounds odd. Mad cow has left 150 humans in Europe with brain-wasting disease. Creekstone isn't saying everyone has to test, but the beef industry in general does not want to touch universal testing, and the USDA is adamantly opposed. In fact, it's about to cut back on mad cow testing. Now Creekstone is suing to go the other way. Up next on Point, the world of American beef. We'll talk with the head of Creekstone Farms about mad cow, the threat, and the test, and we'll ask the USDA why it says no. But first, joining me now from Washington with the latest on the Creekstone lawsuit is Associated Press food and farm reporter Libby Quaid. Libby, thanks for being with us.
Hello, Tom.
Libby, what does this lawsuit ask?
The lawsuit is about who controls the tests. Private companies make these tests, but the U.S. Department of Agriculture says it has sole authority over the sale and use of the tests. It contracts with different labs to perform the tests. In the lawsuit, Creekstone is challenging that authority. Creekstone actually says that a senior USDA official threatened the company at one point with criminal prosecution if it tried to buy or do the tests.
And they're challenging this because they want to test all of the beef that they process. What portion of cattle slaughtered in the U.S. now are tested for mad cow, Libby?
Right now, the U.S. doesn't test every cow for mad cow disease. As a matter of fact, USDA tests at a much lower level, about 1% of all the cattle that are slaughtered in the United States. That translates to roughly 350,000 animals last year. Coincidentally, Creekstone slaughters about the same level, 300,000 cattle a year.
So if they did test all their cattle, it would double the number being tested here. And we read that the USDA is actually looking to cut back on mad cow testing. At the same time, just, 10 or 12 days ago, we saw mad cow disease found in on a farm in Alabama. Why would they be cutting back with this new case found?
The government has been doing a higher level of testing since just a few months after that first case of mad cow disease was found 2 years ago. They never intended for that level of testing to be permanent. When they put it in place, they said they just wanted to get an idea of whether mad cow disease was actually in the U.S. herd. That first case was in an animal that had been imported from Canada that was thought to have been infected in Canada. So the goal of testing was never supposed to be to protect food from mad cow disease. The testing is supposed to show how prevalent the disease is. And this enhanced higher level of testing was only supposed to last from 12 to 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
If it had ended in 18 months, that would have been the end of December. However, USDA has continued that level of testing and now is saying they're ready to look at concluding that level.
Libby, how does American testing of its beef supply compare with that in other nations, in Europe or Japan?
In Europe and Japan, generally all animals are tested for mad cow disease. Those are countries that have had many more cases than the U.S. The U.S. has had, in all, three cases, one of them from this Canadian animal. Japan has had 24 cases, and Europe is where the outbreak began back in the mid-1980s. Just last year, their number of animals that they found with the disease fell, but it was still pretty high. It was about 500.
But Japan hangs over all of this, a great big market, and it has been closed. Then, what was it, reopened and now closed again to U.S. beef? That's a huge dollar loss.
It is a huge dollar loss. Before Japan closed its market after that first case, it was buying, in 2003, it bought $1.4 billion, with a B, dollars worth of U.S. beef.
That's a big number. Is that the biggest overseas market?
Japan was the number one overseas market. Right now is a pretty delicate time because the U.S. is working very hard. It's been a tense few weeks while the U.S. tries to convince Japan to accept American beef again. What happened was American beef was finally allowed back into Japan The border came crashing down again in January when Japan found cuts of veal that are banned in Asia. They contained backbone. Cuts with backbone are commonly eaten in the United States. They're considered to be safe, but they're not considered to be safe in Asia.
Because that's where mad cow disease would commonly, or when it's found, that's where it might be found.
In older animals, yes. In younger animals, the World Animal Health Guidelines do not call for what Japan is calling for, which is no bones, no what they call specified risk materials, these at-risk tissues for mad cow disease.
Why are the USDA and the U.S. beef industry in general so opposed to this testing?
Well, most of the industry, the larger meatpacking companies, oppose Creekstone's lawsuit because they worry that customers in Japan or elsewhere would try to force them to test too. They're afraid also that a suspect result, they call it a false positive, might scare people away from eating beef. So far in the United States, that hasn't happened. And from the Agriculture Department's perspective, they don't want to have a company give the false impression that beef is safe when tests rarely show the disease in younger animals. And it's younger animals that primarily make up the beef that we eat in the United States and worldwide, and it's younger animals that Creekstone mostly slaughters.
Libby, we're going to hear from all the parties in this conversation, but you've got us off to a great start. We're grateful. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
Libby Quaid, food and farm reporter for the Associated Press. We are talking this hour about American beef, one company that wants to test all of its beef for mad cow, and why the USDA says no. Joining me now from Culver City, California, is John Stewart. He is founder and CEO of Creekstone Farms Premium Beef, the meat producer based in Arkansas City, Kansas, that filed suit against the USDA. John Stewart, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
Why do you think you're running into so much resistance?
Well, it's perplexing. The government has taken a stand here now for over 2 years. We've had ongoing dialogue with the USDA about this matter, and they've drawn a line in the sand. I think it really boils down to a couple of things. Number one, the industry may very well be aligned with the major packers in a way that shifts their thinking toward the way the major packers think. That's number one. Mm. Number two, I think that, you know, we're in a volatile situation right now in the industry. We have excessive losses. And I think the government just feels like they can't give in at the moment.
What we're hearing in response, the government and others saying, number one, Creekstone, this is not a real threat. And number two, asking for universal testing is like shouting fire in a crowded theater. What are you doing here?
Well, that's their opinion. But I think I made an analogy the other day that I think probably fits well here. And that is that if you looked at an automobile maker, Volvo as an example, and they put six airbags in their car, it would be like the government telling them, that's really not necessary. You don't need to do that for plenty. So we're not going to allow you to put six in there because you would give your competitors an unfair disadvantage.
But if it was 60 airbags and it was obvious to people in the industry that they did not provide extra safety, might there be a point? This is about what we're eating. Are skittish consumers in Japan driving your policy and therefore great cost to the United States potentially?
Well, our entire position here, Tom, is really built around what the customers are asking for. Creekstone has gone on record since the beginning that we think our beef supply here in the United States is safe. We don't question that. We think the beef industry is doing a great job of producing high-quality, safe products. But when you step back and take a look at the world and what's going on out there in terms of testing, we have Europe. Most countries in Europe are testing. Asia is testing. Japan in particular is testing.
But universal testing? Every animal?
Japan is testing all animals. Now, they have recently said that they're not requiring animals under 21 months to be tested. However, that is a regional decision, and to date, each region is continuing to test 100%.
Let me just get you on the record on this, John Stewart. Do you think there's a scientific reason for universal testing of American cattle at slaughter for mad cow?
I think the science is way too early, Tom, to come to that conclusion, and I think that could be a flaw in the USDA strategy here. Scientifically, I can give you as many positives for testing in terms of scientists out there as I can negatives. And this is a very, very new disease. We're not really sure about this. And though we don't believe that the food supply, the beef supply is unsafe, why wouldn't we be allowed to put that extra layer of confidence on there?
What have you lost with the loss of the Japanese market, your firm?
About $100 million U.S.
Over what period?
2 years.
What about jobs?
We have 800 employees in our facility, and we reduce staff by 150 after December of 2003. So that's a pretty big percentage.
And what about cost? If you win this, and let's say it spreads, and American cattle are tested all over, how much more is beef going to cost at the supermarket in the USA?
The cost, of course, is like anything else. It will go down. But today, it's less than $20 per animal. So when you calculate that to prices in the supermarket, it might be something less than 10 cents a pound.
I'm joined now from Washington by Dr. Ron DeHaven. He's administrator for the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Ron DeHaven, thanks for being with us.
Tom, thank you for me including me on your program.
It's great to have you. So here's John Stewart. He's sold a lot of beef to Japan. That's come crashing down. They're losing a lot of money. He wants to test them all and says, why not? So why not?
Well, let me first explain that we have in the United States a very robust surveillance testing program that is designed to determine the prevalence of BSE in the national herd. This surveillance program focuses on testing older, high-risk animals. However, testing of young cattle with the currently available tests is simply meaningless. For young animals of typical slaughter age, meaning in the United States typically well under 30 months of age, There is simply no correlation between test results and whether or not an animal is actually affected by BSE.
So if the Japanese market wants them tested, what the heck? Why not?
We want to make sure at the end of the day that our testing program is founded on good science. And by testing animals under 30 months of age, we are simply testing a population of animals that, even if they are infected with BSE, will not test positive. In doing so, if we get a negative result on these animals, we're going to be implying that there is, in fact, a food safety assurance, when in fact there is no scientific basis to make that kind of food safety assurance.
So you think it's worth losing the Japanese billions in order to avoid suspicion among Americans about their own beef supply? Is that it?
Well, I think that our consumers have shown their confidence in our system, and it's a system that is based on protecting public health not through meaningless tests, but a system that protects public health through a series of overlapping safeguards.
But it's worth losing the Japanese market. That's a calculus that you're making. It'd be more costly if you raised doubts in American minds, you're saying.
Well, I think there's not doubt in the minds of our consumers, with some 98% of them expressing confidence in our system and continuing to eat U.S. beef.
But you said you're afraid there could be skepticism or a lack of confidence if you had false positive results here.
Well, I think we also need to point out that here again, with the ability of the current tests, we're far more likely to have false negatives. Testing young animals before they have clinical signs is going to yield negative results, even in infected animals. So the real issue is false negatives.
What do you say to people who say the USDA is in the pocket of the beef industry? It just doesn't want to step up here. Let's err on the side of caution.
Well, I would say that here again, at the end of the day, the system that we have in place is based on science and through a series of interlocking safeguards, and as Libby has pointed out, removal of specified risk materials, we in fact are protecting public health. That's what protects the health of the public, whether that public is in Japan or the United States. Our testing program takes into account the limitations of the current tests, focuses on those animals that are older and especially those animals that are showing clinical signs. So part of the program is to determine what is the prevalence of the disease.
Just this month we had a case of mad cow found in Alabama, but at the same time, USDA, you are planning to scale back on mad cow disease testing. Why?
Well, let me again explain. The purpose of our testing is for surveillance purposes. We want to determine what the prevalence of the disease is in our national herd, and then make sure that we have appropriate safeguards in place. with over 650,000 high-risk animals tested in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
and only two that have been positive. First of all, I think we can say that the prevalence is extremely low. And second, our safeguards to protect both public health and animal health are obviously working.
So you're looking to cut down on testing. They want to wrap it up. Where do you think this is going to end up? It's going to the courts, Ron.
Well, the litigation is not about whether or not we should cut back from an enhanced level of testing to a maintenance level of testing, but rather should we allow more widespread use of the tests.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the decision as to when and how to shift from an enhanced level of testing to a maintenance level of testing would be made independent of the lawsuit, and again, takes into consideration that purpose of testing is for determining prevalence. Public health and animal health are protected by a series of measures that are in place irrespective of any testing that we would do.
Ron DeHaven, Administrator for the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Ron DeHaven, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Tom.
John Stewart at Creekstone, there it is. He says, look, we don't need it. It's costly. You're going to raise fears that aren't legitimate. We're on top of this. Stand down.
When did the government start telling companies what they can and can't do for marketing purposes? And I think this is really what it boils down to. You know, the test, and I don't disagree with Ron, that the test is, in fact, somewhat immune to young animals because we just can't detect it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point. This is exactly the same test that's being used in Japan today. They're using the test, testing all of their animals, giving their consumers that extra level of confidence. And even if it only detects it in older animals, same thing in Europe. This is exactly the same test. So are all of these countries doing the wrong thing?
But maybe you're being selfish here. You sold a lot to Japan. American meatpackers who sell most of their beef domestically are saying, don't throw a scare into the populace about beef that doesn't need to be there. Please, Creekstone.
Well, we've heard some of that, but that's to be expected. But I think that the real matter here is we want the borders to reopen. We're not doing this at all to try to force anyone's hand. We're not asking the Japanese to wait on a decision to reopen until we get approval to test. I met personally with the Japanese, and we told them that. We want these borders reopened so trade can resume, and hopefully that happens quickly. But even if it does open, our desire to fill needs of consumers is still the same. And frankly, this is not just a Japanese issue anymore. There is a significant momentum building here in the United States for testing, and it's just going to get bigger. So we're not talking about necessarily doing this just to make the Japanese consumers happy. This is becoming much more of a global matter.
John Stewart, CEO at Creekstone Farm. Stand by. I want to begin to hear from our listeners. Jane's calling from Toronto, Canada. Hi, Jane. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
2 years ago, the Canadian Broadcasting Company did a major television documentary on the American beef market. They had USDA inspectors, they had ranchers, and they had slaughterhouse employees and owners, all of whom said on air that there is a great deal of mad cow in the United States disease, and that the USDA and many major packing companies are covering it up.
How do you read that? Was it a revenge documentary because the first case that the U.S. pinned on Canada and blocked Canadian beef? Or
no, I think it was trying to show that we had problems we were dealing with,
mm-hmm.
and that you didn't. And that a part of the program showed that many of the American packing mm-hmm. companies, the American ranchers, didn't want any Canadian beef in because they wanted only their own use, and the packing companies were lobbying the government to open the border. But the major thrust of mm-hmm. the whole documentary was that the USDA and the people in the industry have been covering up mad cow for years, and when various inspectors came forward and said, mm-hmm. this particular ranch or this particular packing company has problems, that they were threatened as losing their jobs, et cetera, if they didn't speak, keep quiet. And as I say, a lot of them were quite brave and came forward and did speak up. So for the gentleman from USDA saying, mm-hmm. you know, we don't want to scare the people, I think the people should be very scared.
Be afraid, very afraid. Jane, it's a volatile charge, but it's not the first time we've heard it. Let us look at it. And thanks very much for calling in from Toronto. John Stewart, first to you. You heard the charge from Canada saying there's hidden mad cow in the American beef supply. What do you say?
Well, I don't think it's hidden, but I don't discount the fact that it could be there. We just, as I said earlier, we just don't know enough about this this disease. I don't think our government nor any of the packing industry is hiding one thing, but I think that we just have to come to terms that we have a new disease here that we just don't totally understand. And I think taking the position that testing is not necessary really is the wrong, even if I'm not going that direction, that's not the right way to approach
this.
You
say we don't know, but over the last 18 months, as I read it, the Agriculture Department tested 650,000 animals, about 1 in 90, and found 3 cases of the disease. That would suggest, you heard the USDA say, that we're on top of what's going on.
Well, look at Japan. You know, now their livestock supply is a little bit different. They've had many more cases. They're testing everything. I'm sure if we were testing all 35 million head here in the United States, we would have a much higher number. I think that's logical. But the idea here is to test and find and withhold from the food supply.
I want to go to Baltimore and Dr. Mel Kramer, president of EHA Consulting Group. They work on American beef companies, with American beef companies, on public health issues and outbreaks and recalls. We went to the National Meat Association, I should say, and that's the industry trade group. They sent us to Mel Kramer for comment. He's against Creekstone's push to test every animal. He's an infectious disease epidemiologist. Mel Kramer, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
You heard the charge from Canada. You hear John Stewart saying we just don't know. On the other hand, the USDA says everything's fine, and consumers, you start to wonder what's going on here. How do you interpret it?
Well, I think you have to look at it from a public policy perspective as well as a biological basis. And I'd like to address the biological basis first.
Mm-hmm.
When a cow is infected, it's infected in the lower gut, in what we call the distal ileum.
Mm.
And then it takes a while to get through to the tonsils. And then from the tonsils, it goes to the central nervous system in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
That takes, according to the UK research, and they're the ones that have done the most and the best research.
And had the biggest problems.
And they have the biggest problem, mm-hmm. 32 months.
Mm-hmm.
We back this down and saying, biologically, it's implausible, not impossible, but implausible, for us to test brains, which is the only biological material that we have the test kit that Mr. Stewart wants to use.
So that's how it works now. If some head of beef is tested, it's by what? Taking brain tissue samples?
Yes, it's taking the obex, mm-hmm. Which is found in the brain stem, in the medulla oblongata of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it is processed. There are two basic types of screening tests. One is the ELISA test. I believe Mr. Stewart wants to use a Western blot test. Both
okay,
of them are
approved. You're losing me in the veterinary science, but where are you going with that, sir?
What I'm going with it is if you test animals under 30 months of age, not only will you have a feel-good test, but you're going to have a false negative because even if it was positive, it would still be negative because the prions would not be in the brain.
The prions are what again? That's the dangerous thing at the end of the chain here. What's a prion?
Well, the BSE is a prionic disease. We know that these abnormal prions, we have prions all over,
yep.
But the abnormal ones in this particular case is the etiology of BSE and variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is what humans get.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, if we test animals under 30 months, we are not doing anything other than saying we did a test. And what's worse is that people get a false sense of security and may actually consume, and they do this in Japan, the SRMs. Now, I don't know.
Some of the intestines, you're saying.
Well, number one, we state under our guidance that small intestines and tonsils, because that's where the disease can be early, must be removed for a food safety perspective in all animals. Then we're looking at the research, and we remove the skull, the eyes, the brain, the trigeminal ganglia, the spinal cord, the vertebral column, and the dorsal root ganglia in all animals over 30 months of age. In Japan, when they get a negative test, even on a young animal, they will consume some of these SRMs, which we feel is a very dangerous practice.
But why not let the Japanese decide for themselves? That they're smart people, and why not let John Stewart market the way he wants to market? We market all kinds of ways. You know, some of them people like, some of them they don't. If it's about marketing, why not just do it?
Number one, I have pause of concern because I believe as an entrepreneurial society, constitutionally, Mr. Stewart may well have the right to test and market. However, in public health policy, we look at the common good more than the individual rights. And I do believe that the American public has been very, very thoughtful and understanding that our beef is safe. Our beef is safe not because the government tells them it's safe. It's because we have acted from the beginning of this epidemic in the United Kingdom by putting firewalls in. And every single firewall that we have put in has been, thankfully, it has worked.
So there's the pushback. Mel Kramer at EHA Consulting. Thank you very much for joining us. John Stewart, there's the charge again. The common good is being served. You're throwing a monkey wrench in here.
Well, it sounds like he's definitely a consultant for the major packers. I would say that. But again, I don't think this is the issue. We're not suggesting the beef is not safe.
I want to turn now to Columbus, Ohio, and Dr. Linda Detweiler, Assistant Director of the Center for Public and Corporate Veterinary Medicine at the Virginia-Maryland Regional College of Veterinary Medicine. She spent about 20 years at the USDA, worked on the mad cow surveillance slash control program there until 2003. I have to point out, she also consults for retail food outlets, including McDonald's and Wendy's, pretty big sellers of American beef. Linda Detweiler, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for including me on the program.
And with us from Monterey, California, Eric Schlosser, a journalist and author of Fast Food Nation, The Dark Side of the American Meal. Eric Schlosser, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Linda Detweiler, first to you. Mel Kramer says, as we heard the USDA say earlier, come on, John Stewart, this isn't effective, it doesn't work, you're just going to scare people. How do you see it, Linda?
Well, I see it probably in a different light than maybe it's been expressed before from the others. I mean, scientifically, the test does, you know, there are limitations on where it will detect the disease. I think Mel Kramer did outline that you wouldn't expect it there. We do know, though, there have been cases down to 20 months in the United Kingdom. So if you have a large dose load, you know, if there's a large intake by an animal, it's possible to shorten the time that it would get sick. But as far as using the test to say, you know, for confidence or my beef is safer in that young of animal, I do have a problem with that because I don't think that's what that test, where we're at now scientifically with the test, makes that statement. I think it appropriately in older animals, there's more of a, you know, a use for the test, and it would help to eliminate potentially some carcasses and cross-contamination, but the safeguards really are with the SRM removal. Now, that said, on a scientific basis, I mean, my personal opinion is that if a government or if an importing entity says, we know these limitations, and the Japanese scientists absolutely know these limitations it has, but we still would like it done anyway, all right, and we know all this possibility. I'm inclined to say it doesn't make it less safe by having the test, and as long as everyone knows
the limits,
then I'm like, why not?
10 cents a pound. What about your customers, McDonald's and Wendy's? Are they madly kicking back against this under the fast food table?
Well, I think in regards to the surveillance, especially like McDonald's, they've been always to push for an aggressive surveillance program. I think more importantly, myself and things that we've been working for is my big concern is this drop in the surveillance of the high risk. And is now the, I would ask the question, is now the appropriate time to drop the level of surveillance in the high risk?
To scale back, and that's coming soon. We heard the USDA say, we've learned enough, we know what we need to know. Eric Schlosser in California, you were pretty tough on the food industry in general and on slaughterhouses and meat packers in Fast Food Nation. What do you see going on in this story, Eric?
Well, I wish George Orwell were alive to have heard the USDA spokesman on your show just now, basically arguing that more testing will make the meat less safe. It's extraordinary. And I think the American people deserve meat that's been carefully tested. If you look at the history of the USDA, it is a regulatory agency completely captured and controlled by the big meat packers. After the Jack in the Box outbreak in 1993, there was resistance, strong resistance at the USDA for testing for E. coli 015787.
Yep, yep.
This was after 700 people, most of them small children, had been sickened and quite a few had died. The USDA, under the Bush administration, has backed off on closing meat plants for salmonella contamination. And their resistance to testing for BSE is part of a pattern.
But they've said we've only found three cases of this. Even John Stewart, who wants to do the testing, says American beef is safe, so...
Well, but by no means do I think that there is a huge epidemic of BSE among American cattle. But at the same time, we really don't know what the prevalence is. And there is a heroic figure at the USDA, and her name is Phyllis Fong. She's the inspector general. Mm. She issued a scathing report on the USDA BSE testing program in 2004 and
yep.
said that it was statistically invalid because the entire BSE testing program is voluntary. So ranchers and feedlots are able to choose the animals that they give for BSE testing. And these companies have a very strong interest in not finding any BSE. In addition to that, one of the real absurdities about this whole debate about the age of the cattle, we don't really know what the age of the cattle is, and we don't know what the age of the cattle are because we don't have any kind of traceback system like they have throughout Europe and in Australia and in New Zealand.
And that's also been resisted.
It's been fought for 20 years.
But when you look around the population...
When I talk about Phyllis Fong, mm-hmm. she issued a report this mm-hmm. year in January that said... They're trying to figure out the age of the cattle by looking at their teeth, and they're doing a very imperfect job. So we don't even know how old the cattle are that are being slaughtered.
But this Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is the brain-wasting disease that grows out of mad cow, if humans get it, is there evidence there that Americans are picking this up from beef? If there's not, then...
No, but right now, nobody in the United Kingdom is allowed to donate blood. The entire population of Great Britain may have been exposed to these prions.
Wait, are you serious? No one in the United Kingdom can donate blood?
No, and nobody who has visited the United Kingdom for more than a month in the United States is allowed to donate blood in the United States.
Oh, in the U.S., wow.
And prions have been found in human beings to be transmitted through blood transfusions, through organ transplants, through contaminated surgical instruments. There was a Japanese man who got variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease this year, and they think he got it from a one-week vacation in England 15 years ago. Now, I don't think this is a huge epidemic that everyone should be afraid of. I mean, only 170 people roughly have gotten it so far, and about 30,000 die in automobiles every year.
That's
so
globally,
right. Proportion about this.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, our government's policy is really serving the three or four big meatpacking companies and not companies like Creekstone that are smaller companies trying to do the right thing.
Mm, 10 cents a pound starts to sound reasonable the way you describe it, Eric. Let me turn to our listeners. Howard's calling from Newton, Massachusetts. Hi, Howard. You're on the air.
Yes. I just wanted to say that I find this to expose the hypocrisy of the current administration claiming to be conservative and wanting to, you know, let the market do its thing. Let the market do its thing here. Label the beef. If you want to pay 20 cents or 10 cents more a pound, fine. If you want to take your chances, go right ahead.
You think Americans are going to panic and stop eating beef if we get some false positives, Howard?
I don't know, but we're not going to find out if they're prohibited from doing it just because the USDA says, as your guest just said about the Orwellianness of this, well, we can't test because. It didn't make any sense at all.
So let the market do its thing. Howard, we hear it. Thank you very much for your call. Lee is calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Hi, Lee, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Yeah, well, I lived in Holland for a number of years, and I remember going to the supermarket one day, and there was no beef in the island aisles at all. I mean, there was nothing red in the supermarket.
Yep.
That was because there was one case of mad cow in a cow that tested positive in Holland. They pulled all the beef from the entire country. Now, the reason for that is, well, it's a small country, but they're also trying to make sure that people didn't get this disease that may take between 3 and 13 or even more years to show up in people. And the thing about it is, well, there's a lot, this obviously is a big deal in Holland. People in Holland know a lot about the disease and that cows get it from eating contaminated feed. In other words, feed that has animal parts in it,
right.
Or rather cow parts.
Mm-hmm.
And that
so they were running the other way, nothing red on the shelves after one cow found there. Lee, thanks very much for that. Linda Detweiler, let me turn to you. You hear what the callers say, listen to the market, listen to the Dutch. Eric Schlosser says, Phyllis Fong, the inspector general at the USDA itself, saying this is not statistically useful testing that's going on here, that the USDA is kind of looking the other way. Do you buy that?
Well, I want to make a comment on that one of the callers said and then expand on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing that even in Europe, most of the countries put and would not allow it to be labeled as like BSE-free. Because that does do. It leads to maybe more confidence that should be given the limitations of the test. And that's what I tried to make before.
Mm-hmm.
That really, the consumer would need to understand the limitations. And it doesn't guarantee that the cow, that was really free of BSE.
And this BSE, we should point out, that's the proper name, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, BSE,
right.
Mad cow, yeah.
Correct. So I think that's an important point to really make to all the listeners. The other thing is with the current surveillance program and even the move to drop it, my real big concern there is that we're using the current surveillance program to dictate public policy, and it's been used that we've only found a few a few positives, so it's no need to do further actions, for example, the feed ban. And I think that's where I have a very big concern, because the feed ban is what really protects the cows. And if the cows don't get exposed in the beginning, then you don't have to worry about the product coming off, for sale. And that, to me, is one of the biggest things that the FDA has not moved in the last 2 years to tighten up the holes for the feed ban. And I know myself and other scientists, we've written in comments. McDonald's has come out very strong and written in comments on that. And to me, that's very significant. And the fact that if you would drop surveillance and then use the drop in the level of surveillance to justify no further action, I think that's really crucial, and that needs to be why.
And what about the allegation that the beef packers may be looking the other way from the animals most likely to have this, that they're picking and choosing the cattle that they test in a way that may disguise the mad cow, Linda?
I think that this clinical signs of BSE are diverse enough that I think, can it happen? Possibly. But I think that the animals coming into the system, especially at this level, I think give you a good indication that the amount of disease in the country is low. But I want to stress that it has to be at a sustained, extended level.
John Stewart, you hear in our listeners' calls that readiness to be worried here. Do you have any concern that through your efforts to market more effectively to Japan with these tests, that it might in fact come back to bite even you, that Americans would be freaked out and start to back away from beef?
I don't think so at all. In fact, I think it would be just the opposite. You know, our testing is designed to satisfy the needs of these customers. It's not just the Japanese. It's going to be the Europeans as well. And frankly, as I said earlier, the United States, though our government may not be quite tuned into that at the moment, there is a building interest on the part of American retailers and consumers for tested beef. So I think the idea here is to add that layer. We'll label the product as BSE tested.
Mm-hmm.
Our BSE screened will not say BSE free, but I think that fact, we're testing all animals, even though they're young,
yep.
And even though the science at this point may say it's not really needed, we're adding an extra layer of confidence for these consumers. A peace of mind, maybe. Let's take the scientific piece completely out of it. They want it. They want to pay for it. Free enterprise should let us do that.
Sarah's calling from Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Sarah, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hi. I was just calling to say that I think at this point, because we're not sure how trustworthy the agencies are, that maybe it's time that people just start going vegetarian like my family and I did. It's a lot safer and, you know, and healthier and you know, and then there's just no worry.
You're the beef industry's worst nightmare, Sarah. They do not want that.
Right. Well, and then there's also the option of organic meat, but that's awfully expensive for your average person.
What about BSE tested, the label that John Stewart would like to slap on his beef?
Absolutely. I would be for any more testing that's available, for sure.
So there's a call for, if not vegetarianism, then the label. Let us get a call from London, England, where they have seen a lot of about mad cow. Judy's calling from London. Hi, Judy. You're on the air.
Hi there. Yes, I'm very interested in your program today. I've lived here for a while, and we do not eat beef at all. We eat other meat, but...
In the U.K., why not?
In the U.K. Well, I just don't feel that it's safe. And one of the things that your one of your guests was saying earlier is beginning to make things more clear to me. In the U.K., beef that's sold for consumption has to be less than 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the person was saying that the test doesn't show up mad cow until after 3 years,
yeah,
I'm beginning to understand why. And there was a problem several years ago when there was many of the farms were quarantined because of hoof and mouth, and they weren't allowing cattle to be transferred to the abattoirs because they were, you know, concerned about this other disease being spread. And there was great concern because farmers were not able to get their cows within the three-year limit.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't there within the three-year limit. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to be allowed to be used as food.
Do you think beef consumption in the U.K., when you look around, Judy, do you get the sense people veer away from it because of the mad cow issues there?
Only the Americans.
Only the Americans. The British living with their own. Thanks for your call from London. Eric Schlosser, what about it? We've got this picture painted. We're working up through the medulla oblongata and the tonsils, yeah, and all the rest. It could quickly get sort of, we're in the abattoir and we're not sure which way to turn here. What's your confidence that the USDA will do the right thing in the end?
I have no confidence at the moment, but I'd like to throw out, I've read a great deal about BSE in the last 7 or 8 years, and I still eat beef. I try to buy beef from small companies like Mr. Stewart's. That are trying to do things the right way. I avoid the beef produced by the big meatpacking companies for all sorts of reasons. I don't think people should be terrified of eating meat or eating beef. I think they should be very angry at their government for its incredibly irresponsible behavior on this issue. There are other countries that have very tough BSE programs, and those programs focus on three things. The first one is keeping dangerous things out of animal feed, which we're not really doing. Almost 20 years after BSE was discovered in England, we're still feeding blood products to cattle, cow blood being fed to calves. The other part of it is making sure that the specified risk materials are kept out of human consumption. And as the USDA Inspector General reported in January, we're not doing a very good job of that here. And the third element of a good BSE program is a very rigorous testing program. It's kind of astonishing that after a third animal with BSE is discovered, the USDA would immediately announce that they're going to cut back in testing.
And here we go. Eric Schlosser, author of Fast Food Nation, always good speaking with you. Thanks very much for joining us from Monterey.
Thank you.
Linda Detweiler, this is putting me in the mood for a tabbouleh burger. Should Americans really be concerned?
I think as far as the safety of the beef, I have confidence in the safety of the beef, and I think there's more activity in regards to the SRM and improving that all the time in the packing plants, and that's really, if you look at the scientific community and meetings that I go to, that's what protects the public, not only in the U.S., but all over the world.
So confidence in your corner for now, but our antenna are up. Linda Detweiler, thanks for joining us, and John Stewart at Creek Stone Farms will be watching your suit. Thanks for being here. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.